in association with Newsarama. Welcome again to Word Balloon, the comic book conversation show. This is John Suntress. It's time for part three of the Bendis tapes. No, we haven't forgotten. It's just Brian Michael Bendis and I have been a little busy and weren't able to connect. Well, last weekend we finally did. So you'll be hearing some more information about his runs in the various Avenger books. Still more fallout from Secret Invasion. A couple teasers of announcements coming at the New York Comic Con. And more information as the Dark Reign storyline unfolds. A quick note about today's show. If there are parents listening and you've got small children, this is a mature show. We get into some frank discussions. I feel bad. I received an email recently from a listener who reminded me that sometimes you ride around with the kids listening. And I appreciate that. So, sorry. Listen at your leisure in private. Perhaps the men's room. I've heard many Bendis conversations in the men's room. This episode of Word Balloon is brought to you by InStock Trades at InStockTrades.com, where they offer a variety of hardcovers, absolute editions, omnibus editions, masterworks, trade paperbacks, you name it, you'll find it there, with discounts of up to 37%, and all orders $50 and above receive free shipping. In fact, available now from InStockTrades.com, the trade paperback for Secret Invasion, all eight chapters of the event written by Brian Michael Bendis, with art from Lineal Francis Yu. The regular retail price for the book is $29.98, but at InStockTrades.com, it's just $18.89. And don't forget about InStockTrades' sister site, Discount Comic Book Service at DCBService.com, for all your monthly pre-order needs. For more information, make sure you visit their websites, Discount Comic Book Service, DCBService.com, and InStockTrades at InStockTrades.com. All right, we're starting again. Part three. How you doing, everybody?
Part three. It's been a couple weeks since part two in Word Balloon time. So we should say a lot has happened in the 2 weeks. Dark Avengers has shipped.
Yes, and I enjoyed it.
I got to stay in comics for another month. And
Deodato's art was excellent.
Yes, and, it really was. And my dear friend Mike Oeming just 2 days ago got married right here in Portland.
Yes, congratulations, Mike
and
Taki.
Lovely Taki Soma and David Mack. Became an ordained minister and did the wedding.
Now is that through Hawaii? What second floor store did he get that certificate?
What second floor store did David Mack get his ordination from?
Yes.
Well, hey, David Mack is right here. Why don't we ask him? Hold on.
All right. In a moment, we will hear from the Right Honorable Reverend Mack.
John thinks that you're a bullshit minister, but how dare he? Hey, John.
Hey, David, I'm sorry, Father.
Hey.
Can you explain your religion to us, honestly? What are you? What?
Church of the Hand.
Okay.
It's an ancient organization from feudal Japan.
For real?
Yeah, from even older than feudal Japan.
Okay.
Church of the Hand.
I told David that if he did the ceremony and said, by the power invested in me by the Temple of Doom, I never met a man in life, I'd give him $100, but he didn't do it.
No, I use, state of Portland and
Oregon.
the state of my mind.
Exactly.
By the power invested in me by the state of my mind and all that is holy.
Sweet.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it's apparently legal.
Apparently.
Yeah, I did all the, from the interwebs. I got it from the interwebs. I was incredibly surprised that Mike and Taki asked me to do it, so I was totally honored. I was best man, and I got to officiate it, so I wrote up special lyrics, to say.
And he did them to the tune of It's Tricky by Run DMC.
Yeah.
That's the official song of the Church of the Hand, I believe.
The official song, yeah. And I signed legal documents. It's real. It's ridiculous.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
That's excellent, man.
Yeah, so if you want to be married by David Mack at a convention this season, just come right up, give him $25, and boom, it's done.
Yeah, that's you can set
legal.
Up a tent there.
No, it was a one of a time, one of a.
And you get a free kabuki print with every wedding, with every marriage.
It's a one time thing, John. I think I'm retiring my ministerhood after this.
I saw the pictures, but no,
yeah,
you look great.
My brand new suit I bought for Randy Bowen's holiday party.
Very nice.
He doesn't call it his Randy Bowen suit anymore because it sounds like he's made a suit out of Randy Bowen skin. He used to call it his Randy Bowen suit.
Oh, that's excellent.
It was either that or the muscle Venom suit.
Bendis from the waist up was dressed like an adult, which is nice.
Well, just so you know, and I'll tell you, David Mack held a pants intervention here at the house.
We had a long pants intervention where we all decided he looked so great in long pants that we said, you know, it's time to always wear long pants.
Wow.
Because you're the father of two children, you have to be places where there's people of accomplishment. And
then can I tell them the gayest thing we ever did?
Please.
No, no. But
no, now I have to.
No.
Yeah. And then so the next day, we all went shopping at Lucky Brand Jeans. Me, Ivan Brandon, and Brian Bendis, and we all got, you know.
I have not clothes shopping myself.
I was going to say, let's go shopping.
Well over 10 years.
That's great.
Except for buying T-shirts at Hot Topic, which I don't.
Wow.
But here's what happened. David's in the basement. I walk downstairs. I'm wearing, you know, jeans and, as usual, a Blondie/Beastie Boys T-shirt.
Very nice.
He looks at me and goes, "You look good today." And he looks, and you see, he looks at the shirt and goes, "No, not the shirt." That must be the pants.
It's the big boy jeans.
He's wearing big boy pants.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, and it was very receptive. It totally took. We went and bought all kinds of brand new adult clothes. The next day, we actually went shopping together, which was...
Yeah, I don't think we've ever really done that.
Yeah, we've never done that before.
Well, like for comics and CDs we have, but not actually...
Yeah, no, shopping.
The ladies at the store were incredibly helpful. And just brought
a little glimpse behind the scenes of what makes a great comic.
The film montage in my mind with Pretty Woman playing in the background. That's just
that's
wonderful.
Right.
Sashang in front of the mirror. Does this look good?
Yeah.
Well, that's, you know, Betty, Veronica, I'm very proud of both of you. That's great.
Thanks. So you used, in Bennis's career, use this as like a timeline marker of how he writes with the short pants versus the long pants.
BP.
If it all goes to shit, if my sales take a dump in the mall, you'll know it's because David Mack has sabotaged me.
Jesus.
And the magic of my short pants.
Wow, man.
Must be reinstated.
I'll get Ivan's. I'll get Ivan's side of the story in New York, I guess.
Okay.
Yikes.
Well, Ivan's side of the story was well marked on Twitter. So if you've been following Ivan Brandon, he was twittering from the jeans store.
I was away from Twitter this weekend.
Let me
but
tell
it's
you,
good
I, John stayed up late to do this. I can't tell you how thrilled he is that he got all these little.
This is worth the lack of sleep. That's okay. It was a good story.
Yeah, he doesn't know what he's going to highlight on Newsarama as the highlight of this. Yeah, was
sorry,
it the
Matt.
Fact that David Mack is a minister of the Temple of Doom, or the fact that for the rest of this broadcast, David Mack will be right off phone watching Dumb and Dumber on TBS as we talk about comics.
Yeah, hi, my official title is Reverend, but I'm going by High Priest of Love.
Reverend Mack. I like that.
Like, weddings should be fun, and sometimes, you know, as we get older, sometimes you see that... people forget to have fun at their wedding.
Definitely.
You know, it's like some mandatory non-like themselves thing. This was very much like them, and it was a lot of fun. Everybody had a blast.
That's excellent. Okay, John C. from Belfast. Hi, Brian and John. Always a pleasure, and straight into the questions. Have you read Doctor Who, The Writer's Table? I ask because you always mention your continued interest in the writing process, and this records the account of someone with a different method than yourself and the factors that are involved in creating a TV show.
I haven't, but I will, particularly if my TV show goes forward, as we will hear this week, whether Powers continues on or not.
Good luck with that. That is his second
Thank
question,
you.
If there's any update on the status of the Powers series. So
well, we had a good week in the sense that the draft that we did and the director did his massage of it went right up to the president of the network relatively smoothly. There's a lot of people to go through before he got up to the prez, and we got right up there with some enthusiasm. So if he likes it, we're in. If not, we'll keep moving. But right now, it's very nice. It was a very enthusiastic move forward. So
cool. We should.
But as people saw this week, like with Torso, nothing's written in stone until the DVD is in stores.
Oh, I was going to ask. I didn't see what happened this week online.
Well, to my surprise, Friday, Hollywood Reporter ran it as their headline story that Paramount did, in fact, let the rights lapse back to us, even though the movie's still in pre-production. And there's a lot of shenanigans going on that has nothing to do with me.
Wow.
Or Mark. It's just stuff going on with, you know, whatever's going on at Paramount. So there's still a few weeks to go with their rights to the screenplay, and then from there we'll go on. And then Friday we were bombarded by, you know, legitimately gigantic phone calls from lots of different studios that call us the second it's time and we'll grab it.
Oh, great.
So something's going to happen, or we'll see. It's, you know, we'll see we'll see how, you know.
How things unfold. You
know, no one's written a check yet, so it's a whole different thing.
Okay.
But it was weird that it was such big news. It was weird it got picked up by, like, everybody. The news flowed across, like, AP and Reuters and New York Times and L.A. Times, and everybody was everywhere.
Wow.
So it really reverberated back to us, and we'll see what hits. We'll see if it embarrasses the studio into greenlighting the movie or whatever happens. But it's back to us. So there's overall a sense of a little bit more control over it. You know, now it's up to us to decide what to do. So we'll see what happens.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good luck. John wraps up and says, as always, it's great whenever we get together to do one of these. Secret Invasion was fantastic, and the offer of a pint of the black stuff is always there anytime you're in my neck of the woods.
What neck of the woods is that?
Ireland, Belfast.
Yeah. Okay.
Come on, man. We hang with him and Van Morrison.
Yep.
And have a fine time.
And the Coors.
And the Commitments, or whatever that was. The Commitments. Yeah, thank you. York Brown. Hi, Brian and John. Thanks for doing this yet again. Do either of you eat steak? And if so, this is great, a Tiger Beat question. If so, what is your favorite cut, and how is it cooked?
What is my favorite cut of steak?
Yes.
Seriously, what do you think's wrong with this guy?
Well, maybe he's with the Omaha Steaks and is ready to send us a care
package. Yeah, if you work for Omaha Steaks, just send me everything. Send me the expensive stuff.
All right, there you go.
Don't be shy. I'll make it up to you. I'll send you some hardbacks. But, you know, other than that, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
All right. Since I'm assuming that by the time this is recorded, the second Powers hardcover still won't be released.
It's out.
Can you please update us on its status?
It is out. It's in stores.
And then if not, substitute the third Powers hardcover in this question.
That will be out sooner than you think. The second one had legitimate production problems.
Okay.
That the other ones just won't have. There were missing pieces. There was the person who was designing it earlier in the thing delayed it a long time and didn't end up doing it. So we had some legitimate production problems, and they are over. It is in stores, and it printed great.
Jimmy F., 1982. Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks again for providing the best creator-reader interaction in the comic industry.
Ah.
What is the thought process of having a new team in New Avengers every 20 issues or so? Was it always meant to be a rotating cast, or something that just was brought up by each event and status quo shakeup? Historically, Avenger teams have had rotating rosters, and perhaps the answer is just as simple as that.
It is kind of simple as that. It's funny, particularly with Avenger stories. It kind of happens by the whim of the story. Like, sometimes a story ends and it summons time to go. Like with us, Iron Fist, he's busy. You know what I mean?
This, sure.
Like, the story kind of dictates it, and other characters stay and other characters go. And I always found it's funny in like the 70s and stuff. I always found some of those roster changes kind of mean. Some of you are coming and some of you are going, and I'm going to tell you who. You know, it's a little bit of rejection. This one is a little more easy. It seems to be based on mostly who's around.
Okay.
So,
was there any?
Yeah, so I'm not sure. I never sat there and go, all right, well, Luke Cage will be on the book for this many issues. It's more or less let the characters dictate the story as it happens.
Turning Mighty Avengers, when Dan took over, I should say, Mighty Avengers, was there a discussion between you, he, and Tom about who he would keep and who would leave and stuff like that?
Well, initially, the initiative was going to turn into Mighty Avengers.
Okay.
And so those characters are just going to be Mighty Avengers, and I knew who my rosters were. And so that's the way it changed. And then when they decided on their own to do a Hank Pym team, Dan went about and picked his guys and, you know, I think gleefully staying the hell away from my neck of the woods to be in his neck of the woods. So, you know, and Tom was there, and so it was all smooth.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't expect any fighting or anything. I was just saying if there was any, like, okay, I'm taking these guys, so, any, you know, these are the ones that are left or whatever. I think that's a pretty interesting roster, actually. So.
Yes.
Thoughts on recent DC books, RIP, New Krypton? Excited about John's Blackest Night upcoming event?
I am excited about John's Blackest Night. RIP, I found hard to follow, like, what book it was all in and everything. So I even though I have a select... What happened was I would buy issues, and then I would find I was missing three issues. Like, I didn't have it all.
Okay.
So I guess I'm going to have to trade weight on that. And same with New Krypton. I don't know why I have such a hard time following which books everything is in. I want to read them, and happy when I do read them, but that's the problem I've had with those two stories in particular. I also particularly like when it's just Grant or just Jeff. I don't want other people, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand.
That's just my taste.
Sure.
You know.
I did like New Krypton, and I mean, I thought James Robinson's parts and Sterling Gates' parts were fine.
No, and I like just James Robinson.
Does that
make sense? I'm a big fan of his, actually. He's a huge fan of his.
Well, I think they're working together on New Krypton. So if you didn't get those issues, they're worth getting.
All right, I will. I guess I'm hardback waiting on those guys, more or less.
Captain Curse, question one: have you seen the Star Trek trailers?
Yes.
What do you think of the Trek?
My wife had a mental orgasm or some nerdgasm of some sort when the kid goes, James Tiberius Curse. She literally went like that. So, yeah, we're excited about the Trek to the point where it can possibly live up to expectations. And I'm eagerly awaiting the Riff Trax version of it a year and a half.
Yeah. Their Daredevil is outstanding.
It's a recent discovery for me. and I watched Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Oh, I bet that's good.
Matt Fraction and I have been arguing about this movie since it came out. Me pro, him con.
Interesting.
Once you've seen Riff Trax, you cannot be pro this movie anymore. It completely ruins it. It's very funny.
I definitely want to see that. That's good. Because question two, Tron 2, with Jeff Bridges back, could this be all kinds of awesome?
No.
Really?
Absolutely. First of all, Tron sucked. Hate to break the news to you.
I like Tron.
I was there the first day it came out.
Me too.
I had the video game. It sucked then. It sucks now. It's not going to be good. It's going to be some overly CGI'd blaster-rooney, and everyone's going to go, oh, all the charm is gone. Am I wrong? You know I'm right.
I like Tron. I'm hoping.
There's going to be, and I guarantee you, and I know nothing about this, I haven't looked anything up, I guarantee you there's a girl who looks just like Megan Fox who's going to be in the outfit with her boob sticking out.
Yay. Well, that's a good step one.
Yeah.
Who knows, maybe they'll Ron Moore it and have a nice little reimagining and add Eddie James Olmos. I can't believe this game. It sucks. Damn you, Cylons. I love that game.
Ain't going to happen.
Have you watched the first two episodes of Galactica?
I've seen the first new episode of Galactica. If it ends up that Galactica is a sequel or a prequel or something, I think a sequel to the actual Battlestar Galactica, and they're all Cylons, that's fine, but they should be structured a tiny bit better if that's what it is. Because they found a head of the original Cylon.
Yes.
So we're meant to guess that what happened was the original Battlestar Galactica died, and this is all some fucked up thing. We'll see.
Well, yeah. I mean, they also had their museum in the pilot that had an old Cylon that was, like, supposedly from 200 years before, and it looked more like a regular
Green Cylon. We will see.
No, I'm hoping. Come on.
We will see. Yeah, I hope. Again, I'm enjoying it.
I love it.
And I did enjoy that, like, in the first episode where the Galactica had just gone to shit.
Yes.
There's people just, like, fucking in the aisles and beating each other up, and every James Holden's walking around with a gun. That stuff I liked a lot.
Outstanding. I know. Yeah. Well, it's like, and again, I hate to go back to Trek, but it's everything that, like, didn't happen on Voyager. You know, like, Voyager's, like, stuck in the middle of nowhere, too, with no chance of getting home. And yet, we're following Starfleet regulations, blah, blah, blah.
There was a great argument on Stern on Thursday. Who would win in a space battle, the Enterprise or Battlestar Galactica? I pose this question to you, sir.
I would go with the Galactica boys. They are much more
hardcore. That's pretty much how it went, too.
Yeah, Mr. Data, yeah, fuck him. Yeah. Let's just shoot him.
Yeah.
God damn right,
someone,
Bill.
I think someone on my board posted, do they have a ship just filled with narcotics? Because it seems everybody's drunk or stoned. And that ship all the time. For people stuck out there, there's no end to the booze and sleeping pills.
Now, are you saying the Next Generation or all the Star Treks? Or?
I don't know. I think it's the original.
Okay.
The original.
Oh, Kirk and Spock and those guys? Or?
Yeah.
Well, regardless. No,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, Battlestar Galactica is a warship that can beam in and out of the fight, and they got little TIE fighters.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know they're Raiders. Don't fucking write me notes.
Maestro, do you play any video games? If so, what do you like? Yeah.
Do I play video games?
Exactly.
Hey, yeah.
Start the list.
This entire... No, but no, I can't even have a list. I've bought,
really?
Do I write for a living with the button? I have purchased Gears of War and all kinds of funness. But I literally have not played anything but Call of Duty, Worlds of War, Nazi Zombies, co-op for the last 3 months. That's all I play. Me and Rick Remender, I can't pronounce it tonight. Ivan Brandon and Matt Fraction get on, and we have a story conference, and we shoot Nazis until we die. And it's great, and it's the greatest thing ever. And I can do all of this because I can rationalize. I am working on 2 video games right now professionally, and I can rationalize spending all the time in the world on this, even though I'm learning nothing about myself or the world by doing this.
Do you have any inside information on the new Wolverine movie? You're a friend of Jeff Katz.
I am friends with Jeff Katz. I do have a little bit of inside information, nothing I can share.
How do you think,
all good news, though.
How do you think it's going to do?
It'll be huge.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Because there really hasn't been a superhero movie in a while by the time it comes out, so people are going to be horny for it.
There you go. Dave0923.
We saw the trailer somewhere, and places went bananas.
Oh, and I saw...
Oh, and I know Watchmen's coming up before it, so leave me alone.
I saw a preview copy of Hulk versus Thor and Hulk versus Wolverine. Incredible.
Who won?
Yeah.
All right.
The Thor one I like better. I did think the Wolverine
one... My boss won.
Yeah, there you go. Actually, honestly...
Everybody wins.
I got to say, these are the best Marvel cartoons that they've put out yet.
Oh, they were really good?
Yes.
The next Avengers was really good.
I heard that. I still haven't seen that.
Yeah, my kid really loved it.
But hats off to Kyle and Yost for another good story. And,
all right,
and,
cool.
Yeah, they did a great job. They really did.
I think I'm seeing them next week, so I will tell them.
Very cool. I'm hoping to see them I hope they're coming to New York. I'm not sure if they are or not.
I actually have to go to L.A. before New York.
Oh, well.
Super secret Marvel stuff. Dun, hey. Dun, dun.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
So, sorry to hear the demise of the Wizard L.A. show.
Yeah. I'm sorry because I actually wasn't I was doing the show as a favor to Stan.
Cool.
So I'm sorry I didn't get to do that which he asked me to do.
Oh wow.
So but on the other hand the show was always on I just a terrible weekend in a terrible location. It was the same weekend as the LA Marathon.
Yes.
So you couldn't actually get to the convention. Without walking 2 miles, because everything was shut down.
Crazy.
And other than the visual of these people who are the statement of athletic perfection, getting ready to do their marathon, walking by
nerds,
guys in their Batman T-shirts,
two sizes too small,
or the guy in his Mojo costume, trying to get into the thing. It was a nice little dichotomy of humanity, as it were.
Yee.
So yeah, I think it's showing up elsewhere. They may be going back to Long Beach is the rumor, which would be great.
Oh, okay.
So it just was at a bad place on a bad weekend.
Sure.
And LA is an odd town.
I understand. Dave0923.
We should do Wizard World Portland, so I don't have to fly anywhere. We're all here. I mean, they would save tons of money on airfare.
That's true.
Yeah, you want a bunch of big guests? Yeah, right here.
What's the show? Stumptown show or whatever.
Stumptown is more of a very, very indie show,
which
is very, very cool. It's a very cool show.
No, it sounded like it, actually.
And Emerald City Con, which I'm
sure,
officially
Seattle.
Doing, and so is David Mack, is coming up in April, early April.
Very cool.
So that'll be the show for the West Coasters.
Very nice. Dave asks, right now I'm a teenager with the desperate desire to tell stories. Sorry, John, I know you've heard this setup from me before, and I just recently self-published my own novel using wordclay.com, and I've been trying to pimp that out, and am literally pages away from completion of my first ever comic after years of writing scripts. I guess my question is, what do I do next? I'm going to New York Comic Con to show off the comics that hopefully will be done, and I'm posting material on my website, acerocketmancomics.blogspot.com. So basically, what's next for me?
Well, you know what? Honestly, it's from the sound of it, and again, I have to talk very vaguely because I don't know you or your work or, it could be like insane pedophilia porn for all I know. You know what I mean? So who knows? But in the most general sense, you're doing everything right. You're writing. You're writing every day. You're making projects. You're doing it, and you're out there hustling. You're going to go to conventions, make yourself known, hand out your work, make people see it. The other thing is just be really honest with yourself and the quality of your work. And, you know, really be your hardest critic, but don't stop working. Just make sure it's really up there. Make sure that what's in your head is getting it on the page. And, you know, hustle it, brother.
Yeah, I'm looking at his stuff now at Ace Rocket Man Comics, and all right, a little cosmic thing. It looks like it's going on.
All right, cool.
Good luck with it, man.
Hustle, hustle, hustle. Make yourself a face. Don't be obnoxious, but be, you know, forward and strong and express yourself.
I love the team of you and Alex Maleev. You guys, for my money, are two of the best creators in comics and make a hell of a team.
Thank you.
I've recently been reading Denny O'Neill's Question Run and have been loving it and thought, wow, if Bendis and Maleev did a Vic Sage question story, that'd be phenomenal. So if you guys ever went to D.C., would you ever consider doing that?
I probably would, yeah. That'd be fun.
Was the Denny O'Neill Question one of your...
I love that. Dennis Gowan stuff.
Me too.
Fantastic. Absolutely. Had every issue.
Thank you both for recommending American Flag. I just bought the huge hardcover months back and loved it. It's definitely a must-read for any comic fan, and I'm going to start the Bendis Daredevil Omnibus soon. I just wanted to tell you that. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Spidey Fan.
Omnibus is gorgeous.
Very cool.
The Omniboo.
And they fixed that cover dealie?
Yeah, you can. I mean, it's not the biggest deal in the world, but you can get the people seem to want the shitty cover over the fixed one.
There's okay.
A little more charm in the register mark on Daredevil's nose.
Spidey Factors, since Wolverine is a member of the New Avengers, the unregistered illegal Avengers, how does he get away with working with the X-Men, too, which I do think helped the San Francisco Police Department? Shouldn't he be arrested?
That sounds like there's a hell coming from Wolverine in the next few months. Sounds like something's going to blow up in his face and shit.
Goat Fog, tell me about the weirdest reactions you've met with from friends and distant relatives when you told them about your profession.
The weirdest reaction. Well, they're not so weird. Just you get people just don't even understand what you're saying.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Kind of.
You know, like you say, you write comics. People write those? I thought they were all written already, or I thought a computer did that.
Right.
You get that a lot. You know, or the feeling is that they thought I invented Spider-Man, and they're like, holy shit, how much money did you get from the movie? And I'm like, yeah, I invented Spider-Man. That's why I'm here talking to you.
Wearing short pants.
Yeah, even though it exists in the 60s, before I was born, I invented it and just now got around to telling you.
You were a wonderkid.
For the decades that you've known me. So, yeah, that goes on a lot.
BrownBear76, thank you for the return of Mockingbird. I was so glad you
came
back.
I'll tell you the other funny thing that happens.
No, please.
You know, it's usually my wife or someone starts bragging behind my back or something.
Okay.
So they go Google me to see if what the hell they're talking about, you know?
Right.
And they'll see me on whatever, wherever you see shit about, you know, Wikipedia or whatever, and they're like, wow, I couldn't believe all the stuff I was reading. Yeah, you really piss off some people.
It's like you said when your brother looks up his name. Like, yeah, Bendis sucks. Bendis is a dick.
Exactly.
Hey. Do you think you will write a Hawkeye Mockingbird series after New Avengers Reunion?
Please no, you know, it would be great if Reunion does great enough to generate interest for an ongoing. And if you want to see that, definitely let Marvel know. So that would be McCann's department. I will be writing them ongoing in New Avengers, so I will get my fix.
Cool. Would you ever consider writing Iron Fist with Cage? Or just writing Iron Fist on its own?
Well, yeah, I would love to do that, but there's also something really cool about not doing it, being that was that time in their life, and this is a new time in their life. There's something about that.
Okay. Plus, Dwayne has
done
a great job.
Like, today I feel like it would just be like fan fiction, but, yeah, tomorrow I could come up with a spin on it that would make me feel, ooh, there's new. You know?
Sure. No, and you're right. It was a book of its time, so that's
and their relationship has evolved, and I like their relationship, like almost like an old marriage, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And that's kind of what I'm more interested in writing right now.
Call me Danger. Hi, John O'Brien.
Danger. Oh, okay.
I immensely enjoyed Secret Invasion 8 and Mighty Avengers 20, especially Hank Pym's tragic, self-deluded portrayal. I find it interesting that he doesn't seem to realize that he would have made the same choices as his Skrull imposter in Civil War, yet he vents at Tony about getting Cap killed and still maintains his friendship with Thor. That's a silver lining to his loss of years and his wife, but he doesn't see it. You do a great...
Well-deserved. Now, if only Dan Slott will see it. That's all you can hope for.
You do a great job writing that character and the others, too.
Thank you.
Anyway, here's our questions.
By the way, I love that character. Just because things are going on in that character's life that you may not appreciate doesn't mean that I don't love that character.
I bet it's
that's
a
one
great
of those characters
character,
I get dumped on a lot for. I clearly hate the character, so why do I continue to write him? Because I'm so mean to him. That's what's interesting about him.
Sure.
You know.
Oh, absolutely. No, he's a tragic character. I agree. I think he's a great character to write.
Yeah.
Let's see. His questions. Can you give us thoughts on the dynamic between Namor, Reed, and Doom? Namor is more or less on speaking terms with both of the two mortal enemies as a former member of the Illuminati and the current member of Osborn's Cabal. The perception of him and his perception of them separately and together fascinates me.
Well, yeah, I'm going to be actually dipping into that in my work soon, so I don't want to talk too much about it or have the work speak for itself. But what we've seen so far really is that Namor will do whatever's best for Atlantis and his kingdom. And if he's shacking up with Doom, that's what he'll do. If it's shacking up with Reed, that's what he'll do, right? You know, Sue Storm aside, mm-hmm. the fact that they're clearly banging constantly every 3 days.
I'm going shopping.
And Reed probably knows about it. It's completely, whatever the word is, cuckolded or whatever by it. But somehow that's the only way he could end up right.
Nice.
So I'll be getting into it more in the work itself, so I don't want to talk too much about it. But there's going to be some new facets to all those relationships coming up soon.
Do you and
the
other
Cabal?
I'm a big fan of the Cabal, and yes, obviously there's a teaser at the end of Dark Avengers that opens the door to what's coming.
Yep.
Do you and the other Marvel writers ever do table reads of scripts when you're at retreats, or critique scripts in progress with other creators to get their take on something?
We all gather around and we read, like, Jeff Loeb's Hulk scripts and scream at each other, trying to find out the level of volume versus the amount of exclamation points. I do that more with people close to me. It's not a retreat kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
We do end up always talking about craft and how I would do it versus how you would do it or that kind of thing. You know, me and Dan Slott. Recently, where he was showing me a scene, and I had a different way I would have done it. We were both fascinated how different our takes were. No one's right or wrong. It's sometimes interesting to get someone else's point of view.
Sure,
because there is no right or wrong.
Of course not.
So it's good. I like how healthy the conversations are, and everyone in the room has different strengths, and I do like that part. So there's no actual physical reading or cosplay involved, but.
I would like to wear the Galactus helmet while I read this part, please.
If anything, I think the conversation is actually much higher than that because it's more about theory, writing theory, if anything.
Sure. All right.
Yeah.
Beta Ray.
Are you having trouble with the cosplay? Was that stuck in your head?
No, I'm smiling at the
Dan
cosplay,
Slott,
yes.
Was it Dan Thor? Was that what got you?
Yeah, a little bit.
Beta Ray Slott?
Yeah.
And if I don't see Beta Ray Slott highlighted on Newsarama when you post this, we're done.
Beta Ray, thanks for doing these. I always enjoy them. Word Balloon is great. Lame questions, but here we go. What movies are you looking forward to most in 2009?
Well, obviously looking forward to The Watchmen. Anything starring Sarah Jessica Parker. I'm hoping Hotel for Dogs makes over 70, so we get Hotel for Dogs 2.
Yeah, can we please?
And they've rushed that out.
Did you have
fast.
To go see that for the girls?
Well, I think I may have convinced my daughter it never came out. So we've been really busy here with the wedding and everything,
sure.
and Chinese New Year and all this stuff. So there's been a lot going on, but so I think I dodged the bullet. But in 3 months, when I bring her into Barnes & Noble and she sees it out of the corner of her eye, I'll have to watch it at home.
Wow.
I'll be doomed because she did. She goes, "I'm dying to see this." But we did have an excellent week. I got to tell you, the daughter saw Indiana Jones for the first time.
Okay,
and she loved it. Loved it. What a great week.
That's cool.
Just loved it. Loved Temple of Doom is her favorite, just like her daddy's.
Wow, that's pretty strong meat for a little girl.
I told her, well, we had a long talk about how it's fake and it's made out of, things are made out of rubber.
Okay, so she can handle eating the bugs and everything?
Yeah, the bugs. Well, the bugs, she said, no, you know what? It's fun to be scared in, when you watch a movie because you know it's not real. And I was like, yeah, that's good. And I said, well, you want to turn it off? We'll turn it right off. If you don't think this is bothering you, we'll turn it right off. She was loving it.
Well, that's good.
She was loving it. And I did cover Eyes for the Pulling Out of the Heart. Other than that.
Yeah, Kelly Fish.
Yeah, the blood of Kelly.
Or whatever.
And but other than that, it was a huge hit, short round. I mean, she takes karate class, so a little, you know, so she just loved it.
Very nice. Yeah. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on the Dire, or are there more movies that you look forward to in 2009?
I don't know. It's coming out. I was looking forward to Torso.
Yeah, I know. Sorry.
thanks for bringing it up again. No.
Wolverine, of course.
Wolverine. I'm looking forward to Wolverine. Looking forward to the next Indiana Jones.
That's
Adventures of Mutt Williams. Looking forward to that.
Now
I think there's things I'm excited about, but I don't know.
I can't think. Yeah, beyond Wolverine and Watchmen. Are you going to Harry Potter like you care? Do you care?
No. I'm actually looking forward to, there's a cartoon that's produced by Tim Burton that is, hold on a second.
I'll say I'm looking forward to the Wonder Woman cartoon.
Pardon?
The Wonder Woman direct-to-video next DC movie.
Huh?
I think it'll be all right. I like Nathan Fillion. Yeah, well.
Meh.
Nice.
It's my first public use of the word meh, which I despise. I despise that word. No, I'm blanking on the name of it, but there's, I'll tell you, the worst trailer on the internet right now is The Great Buck Howard. That's a terrible trailer. I'm looking forward to Pink Panther 2. Oh, wait, no, I'm not.
Yeah, I was going to say, really?
No. Although, obviously, I'm looking forward to Up, the new Pixar movie. I'm tentatively looking forward to Coraline. Nine. It's a movie called Nine. It's a CG animated film produced by Tim Brevoort and Timur Bekmambetov. The director of Wanted.
Okay.
And it looks really great. The trailer's online. You should take a look at it. It looks really good. I hope it's as good as it looks.
Cool.
Oh, Night at the Museum 2. Mmm. Can't wait. That one I will not be able to get out of seeing. My daughter will be very aware of that one. So there you go. I will be excited for Terminator Salvation until I see it and realize it was directed by McGee and what the fuck was I thinking.
What are your thoughts on the Dire Wraiths? I know most are stuck in limbo, but they did have a connection to Skrulls and Skrull sorcery. Any ideas for them?
You will see that in Spider-Woman. Although you have lots of Spider-Woman news in New York Comic Con. Lots and lots and lots and lots. Big announcements that even you, John Sutras, will be shocked by. And you will run to me. For an update, and I will run you into the men's room, and we will talk.
All right, I'm sure the Javits Center will have a nice stinky bathroom waiting for us.
I'm sure it will.
Jesus.
It's going to be crazy.
I'll have nose plugs with me for our encounter.
You know what I should say? I have heard word that whatever they tickets they sell for signing VIP signings,
yes,
mine are sold out. But if you, I'm not even actually sure what I'm talking about here. But I will be at the Marvel booth whenever I'm not at a panel. So I will really try to take care of anybody who's there.
Very cool.
So don't have no fear. I'm literally there to do the con, so I will work my little butt off.
Excellent. And we'll have a video talk of some sort, I'm sure?
Yes.
Very cool. Leaf Insect Man. Future plans. Do you see yourself ever wanting to architect anything as big as and elaborate, or even bigger and more elaborate than Secret Invasion was?
If the story comes, I mean, you can't force it. Now I'm going to take 10 years to plan something 80 issues long. You know, it'll come. You know, some of my ambitions are much subtler, and you know, they get accomplished more quietly, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So I have very strong ambitions, particularly for Spider-Woman and other things that are happening that will be announced at New York Comic Con. I've kind of dedicated my life towards another level of things that I would like to attempt in mainstream comics. That it would be very easy to be lazy this year, and I've gone elsewhere with that thought.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did we get anything good this holiday season? Any good gifts? If so,
I am hard to shop for, but, you know, the holiday season brings the Academy Award screeners, so those are always the highlight.
Very cool.
Mike Oeming bought me a giant M&M, you put a quarter in, you get a bunch of M&Ms.
Oh, very nice.
And literally he was here the whole week, and he must have put $15 in there. So I really bought M&Ms for himself and gave me money for them. So yeah, I got I always get nice little presents here and there. So nothing stood out.
Yeah, the Dave Gibbons book was the best thing I got.
Yeah, the Dave Stevens book.
Yes, which you were just raving about in part two.
Yes, that was a good get.
That's excellent.
Yes.
No, I really want to read it. Mark Evanier had an interesting...
Well, we got Rock Band. Rock Band 2. That was a big one. The house has been filled with the mellifluous tones of Rock Band 2.
Very cool.
My daughter loves it. My friends love it. There's pictures of the wedding party playing it just the other night. Yeah. It's funny. When it goes on for hours. It's like a Springsteen concert in here.
It's Mike Choi, ladies and gentlemen.
Mike Choi.
Who was also at the Oming Selma wedding.
Yes.
Hey, gents, thanks for doing this again. I hope you all had a great holiday season. I just listened to the last session on the drive from Portland to San Antonio, and it made the drive a lot easier for the missus of me, particularly on the desert that is the I-10 in West Texas.
Well, I have a question for the Mike Choi podcaster. Does he know they invented planes?
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
My question for you get to see some of the grand old West that I guess.
All right, what is the question Mike Choi would like to ask me that he could ask me in person the numerous times I've seen him?
How would you, as a successful creator in the mainstream market, go about promoting a creator-owned book, whether it was published through Image or Icon or what have you? Do you try to bring your mainstream audience with you, or do you try to cultivate a new one? I'm seeing quite a few high-profile creators try to do this with wildly varying successes, and I'm interested in what the reasons might be.
Well, I've watched that too.
Sure.
What I would do as I've done, more successfully than not with Powers over the years, is grovel to whoever's reading Ultimate Spider-Man or particularly Daredevil or Alias to buy Powers as well, because I genuinely think they would love it, and they have come over and they've dug it. And Ed's been doing that this year with Criminal and Incognito.
Yes.
Yes, the people reading Captain America would love Incognito, and they should definitely buy it. So you feel good about that sell. And then from there, it's a great opportunity to get out there and hustle. And it really is a mistake some people make. They just put the book out. And not only name creators, like anybody, people, unknowns, their first book, they think just putting the book out, just birthing it into the world is enough. And they think the whole world is somehow looking at them and saying, yay, the book is here, it does not, and then you wake up and you find out no one cares at all. And you really have to get out there and hustle your butt, no matter what level you're at on the charts that week or what have you. And you'll see Springsteen's out there hustling, man. He ain't pretending I'm the god of rock and I just put something out. He's out,
Yeah, he's on the talk shows and everything.
He's running around. You got to hustle, brother.
Sure.
So that's the lesson. Don't. It's not enough to have just birthed it. If you really believe in it and you think there's an audience for it, go find that audience. And also be very, very clear that you're pointing in the right direction. There's places you could go that will do you no good whatsoever. There are national talk shows you can go on that would do you no good whatsoever.
Sure.
Whereas going on the Colbert Report with Secret Invasion was a great idea.
Oh, definitely.
It really did help. So but I bet if we went on the Tonight Show with it, I don't think it would have been that. Even though they got a much bigger audience, I don't know if they would have been a help that much.
Were you in the comic book stores that Wednesday that the Obama Spider-Man issue came out?
I don't know if I was in that Wednesday. But I do know I have some news on that. I got the numbers on that puppy. Holy shit!
It's
huge, and that's great. I'm so glad Marvel can do that every once in a while. Just really,
I'm glad. But I honestly want to ask Dan Buckley when I'm in New York if I have the opportunity, if not letting people know, and I don't expect you to necessarily have the answer to this question, but letting more stores know what was coming to satisfy that immediate demand. That was there I knew too many stores that had to turn people away.
I saw the
away.
Same complaints with the Captain America thing. Sometimes it's instant lightning in a bottle. That just because you want the mainstream press doesn't mean you're going to get the mainstream press. And let's say the Cap thing. Cap thing was such good timing, and so is the Obama thing. Just
sure.
Such great timing. But let's say, God forbid, like Ted Kennedy had died that week.
True.
No, there would have been no press for the Obama comic.
I understand.
You know what I mean? So
no,
you don't know if it's going to take off like that.
I just kind of
think... Until the last minute. And everyone looks at it in retrospect and goes, oh, they should have done something. Of course Marvel wants you to have the book. You know what I mean?
Well, I understand that.
Sometimes it's just a matter of, it hit and they ran to get the book.
But they still made the decision to, let some stores know that we're on their one mailing list or email list, but not, really let everybody know.
And I don't know.
The stores versus what kind of mainstream press you're going to have.
I don't know necessarily about that. Honestly,
okay.
I don't even know what the mailing lists are and everything like that. But I do know that no one's hiding the information from anybody.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
Sure.
Nobody. Okay. Trust me.
No,
I was just talking to Dan about it the other day. That's
what I mean. Like
copy cop.
I'm sure that everyone is pleased.
Balderdash.
I'm sure that everyone is pleased with the mainstream
bullshit
publicity and success. But yeah, I'm just wondering.
No, but it sometimes comes that day. Like you say, okay, will the press grab it? And the press grabs it, and let's go. And I mean, I even told you, even with me with Torso, I had no idea that would be a new story.
No,
and
I think it
actually sold us a lot of Torso trades.
Believe it or not,
probably more than we sold all last year.
That's great.
Yeah, it's great, but I didn't know it was happening until the day it happened.
Right. Well,
everyone's a genius in hindsight.
All right.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
All right, I hear you. I respect
and I'm talking
that.
About a much tinier version.
Sure.
It's just from what I went through on Friday.
Okay. Given that you've given a lot of advice on how to break into the industry, is there any advice you might have for people like myself and some of my friends in the business, guys who have some confidence that they've broken in, but haven't really...
Well, yeah, I want to rewind on Mike Choi's question a little bit because I forgot to answer some stuff there.
Oh, okay. You want to continue on more ways of promoting?
Mike Choi's, I think, asked a question. And what?
Sure.
The mistake would be, A, to think that you've birthed in the world is enough. But it's, and I think a lot of my friends are always surprised when people come around my table at a convention and they don't know that I do powers. They don't know about powers. Or they don't know. Even people waiting in line to say hi, they'll see someone else will have, like, Fortune and Glory in their pile. And they go, what's that? And they go... Well, Brian used to draw. They go, really? And they're legitimately pretty fond of me and my work. And they just didn't know. So you can think you've said something a million times that it's enough to promote it. It's never enough. You've got to promote something till you're sick of the sound of your own voice. And if you don't want to do that, then find someone who will do it for you. Or just don't make that your point, but if you're really out there to make sure that you're heard and that you have something out there you're really proud of, you really got to hustle. Loud. That's all.
No, I agree.
Okay.
Given that you're...
And I will this year when I announce my creator-owned titles.
Excellent, man.
Loud and proud. Do what Ed did. Ed did everything that me and Mark have done over the years right.
Yeah, I know. I noticed right after I had posted my interview with Ed, just a couple days later, the Sci-Fi Wire had a story about mostly about Angel of Death, his movie that he's got going.
But, no, and how many times did he mention his comics? That's what I do, too.
They mentioned his comic work in the story, but only like kind of at a glance, and they did not specifically mention Cap or Incognito or Criminal, but just that Ed has a big history of doing crime stuff in comics, and now he's doing this crime movie. But it was good.
All right, good.
Given that you've given a lot of advice on how to break into the industry, is there any advice you might have for people like Troy
how to get out?
And some of his friends in the industry, guys who have some confidence that they've broken in but haven't really accomplished anything significant in the mainstream yet? I think you've mentioned don't be an asshole, but since I can't do that, what else do you have? I guess what would you tell yourself, Circa, when you signed on for your first Marvel contract?
Well, I'm always amazed. I'm not sure this is exactly the question, but I'm amazed by the fact that people work so hard to get here or are so lucky to get there, right? And for most people I know, it was an insane amount of work leading up to the point of getting there. And when they get there, they start fucking around. They start divvying it up or getting all high and mighty and totally forget that whatever job that you have in comics, someone else had that job before you,
Mm-hmm.
Settle down and work. Now it's time to do the work of your life. Now it is time to express yourself like no one else has ever done. And you not only should you be writing or drawing a comic that might be someone's first or last, you should write it like it's your last. Like you're going to be fired after this. And I do this. I only when I see other people acting the fool that don't get fired, I go, and I'm sitting there going, why am I always worried I'm going to get fired? I would set them down and go, someone else had this job, and someone else will have it after you. It is up to you to see how long it is you can keep it. Big name people cannot get work because they act the fool.
Eddie Edmonds, thanks for taking the time to do these. These episodes are really a thrill. I got to ask, and sorry if it's already been asked. I read other posts but may have missed one. When planning an event, how do you work with other creators in creating interlocking moments? For example, and the one that I want to know the most about, Deadpool finding the data on how to kill the Queen Skrull for Nick Fury, only to have Norman Osborn steal it. Did you ask Daniel Way to tell this story? Did you or an editor tell Way the end of Secret Invasion and he wrote it of his own accord? Did he bring the idea to you?
That's a very good one in that it is one that I did not come up with. It is an idea, I believe it may have been Axel Alonso's idea to launch Deadpool out of Secret Invasion. That was definitely something they wanted to do. They really wanted to give the book a fighting chance and start strong. And either Daniel and Axel together, and again, I was not in the room for this part, came up with that hook and presented it to Tom and myself. And we were glad to say, go with God. It doesn't conflict with anything we have.
Cool.
And as long as it accentuates and doesn't conflict, I would never stand in anyone's way, you know. And it, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So that was one of those great opportunities where you just get to treat people the way you want to be treated, and everyone was being creative and story first, and yeah. It's cool.
Yeah, that's a great
way
for the
Deadpool's point of view of this. That's what every tie-in should be, you know?
Absolutely, an organic, yeah. Its own story.
And if you're not reading Secret Invasion and you just love Deadpool, you got yourself a fun Skrull story.
Yeah, Deadpool becomes the star of in his own right in this aspect of the story. That's
right.
Great. That's
right.
Excellent. And, yeah, Dan is, by the way, doing a great job on Deadpool. I enjoy it a lot, and it is a character that I have to go back and see Fabian's run because I never really read the character until now.
Or Joe Kelly.
Yeah. Or did Gail do it for a while, too?
Who?
Didn't Gail Simone write the, you know?
No, Joe Kelly did
the definitive Deadpool.
The quintessential Deadpool.
I will have to read that. I read somewhere that Dark Reign was in part inspired by the work of Warren Ellis's Thunderbolts, but I'm assuming at this time when you were already working on Secret Invasion Beyond, so I can ask what Dark Reign was originally meant to be like in comparison to what we got.
Well, as I said last time, it definitely was inspired by the movie Chubby Rain that they made during Bowfinger. But yeah, Warren is a huge influence on me, and I will never discount that fact. It Thunderbolts is one aspect of the Dark Reign. If anything, the idea of what's the flip side of the Illuminati was another big one, too. So I think I was a huge influence on myself and Warren.
Very cool.
And it was more than just Thunderbolts. It was really what's the landscape of the Marvel Universe was the influence, if that makes any sense. There's a lot of pieces involved.
Very nice.
And it was so great that Norman was riding this wave towards the story, whether I was thinking of it or not. It was heading that way.
Cool.
So, how much longer can you stay awake?
I'm good.
Okay.
Oh, no, top of the world, man. No, I can stay up. That's not a problem.
All right.
No, we're fine, bud. Don't worry about it. We'll make it.
All right.
Are you okay for time or no?
I'm okay for a little bit more time.
Okay. Oh, we're not going to finish. All right. Part four. All right. No worries. Let's see. Rob Close.
See what I did there? I tried to make it on you.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to go. You're getting sleepy. You got to go. You got to go to work.
Okay.
I could stay if you want, but if you got to go.
Yeah, you know, you're a trooper. In Alias, when Jessica is working on the Rick Jones case, how many Skrulls were in that story?
17. You know what I'm thinking? What I may do is just hang up in the middle of a question, and then you'll know. And you'll just be going,
Brian?
Okay, I guess we're done with this one.
Thank you. Yeah, I won't take that at all. I won't take all that right. Personally at all. So Skrull Spider-Woman was doing all she could not to throw up after Doctor Strange's crazy trust ritual in New Avengers?
Yes.
And nobody noticed?
You noticed. She's looking at you. She wasn't looking at him.
Mech. Now that your thought balloon experiment seems to have come to an end, well, what are your thoughts on thought balloons? I know you believe in show, don't tell, and I thought the way you used thought balloons in Mighty Avengers served that by showing the audience what the art couldn't or shouldn't sometimes see, which is the truth. How characters' thoughts contracted their words, expressions, and actions. Are there times, no matter how talented the artist, when the visuals can't tell the truth, or there is a kind of acceptable exaggeration that artists can use when the audience sees more than another character might?
This guy is like my own thought balloon. That is my thought. And if I put in balloon, that's what it would be.
All right.
So the great thought balloon experiment of 2008 has not come to an end. I do wish that the story of Mighty Avengers would allow me more to do that, but it just didn't at the time. So, but there will be other places for it.
Special K. As you read in its own thread, many people have criticized the way Namor was illustrated in the Dark Reign special. I'm wondering if you asked Alex to do this for the purposes of a future storyline. A few people mentioned an early FF story where Namor is in amnesia in Isha Kobo.
Yeah.
Or was this just Alex's interpretation? We did discuss this in part one, Special K.
Yes, we did.
Assuming this won't be recorded until after New Year, hope you both had happy holidays. If I don't think of a second question, any cool gifts you want to mention? We already did that, 2K! No, I'm just kidding. That's all right, dude. Okay, hey, and now I can. This gives me the next one. August Miller gives me an opportunity to say this guy's name right.
Okay.
Will you be working with Olivier Coipel again sometime in the future?
Olivier Coipel.
It is Coipel?
Yes, I've worked with them for years.
I understand. We keep getting admonished for saying Coipel as opposed to Coipel.
People don't know him.
All right, I believe
you. People on the interweb have made up a thing.
Right. As I pointed out, you get my last name wrong.
I know him.
Okay. But you kind of know me, and you call me Sutris.
Exactly. And Rick Rememberbers.
Exactly.
And Mike Avon's Omerder.
All right. But you are working with Olivier soon again.
I am working with him, not soon, but yeah, we have plans for a project that has been approved by the people who approve such projects.
Okay. So for what I understand,
it's
what
called
Lily...
House of Not really.
Okay.
That wasn't. You had that pause, like you think you really got yourself a scoop there.
Yeah, I was leaning in.
Oh my God, I got a scoop.
Excellent. Matt Brady, listen.
Call Vanetta Rogers. Let her know. Okay.
Yeah, man, you run to her for every scoop that...
She's very kind to get a hold of me ahead of time.
I'm teasing.
And let me know how creeped out she is by me and my work as often as she humanly can.
Does she really say
that? I was very happy to see that she actually quoted herself accurately in the last interview I did where she got on the phone with me. She goes, well, I read Dark Avengers, and boy, it just skeeved me out. And I went, well, you're the first person I've heard from outside my friends and family, and I'm thrilled to hear that.
That's cool. No, she's great. She really is.
She is great, and she's actually a very good reporter.
She absolutely is.
And there's a lot of other reporters who could take a lesson.
That is very true.
From her hard work and diligence.
Not
cutting and pasting other people's hard work and diligence and taking a page.
I have seen her, like, literally hustle for a story from hearing something said in a panel and her literally running up to the panel and saying,
yes.
Okay, what did that mean?
Yes.
So, no, she's very good. Yes. August Miller.
I hope when I see her in New York, she can keep from dry heaving.
So what I understand... Countdown
until she leaves Newsarama and starts her own site. Okay, there you go.
There you go. So from what I understand, and the little he told me when I met him in November... You helped ease Steranko's getting back into comics talk with Marvel before that fell through?
Yes.
Wow. Any regrets?
That it didn't happen. Sorry it didn't happen.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure why it didn't happen other than, you know, the fine gentleman has things that he wants and does. I don't know. I did. I tried really hard. Nothing would make me, and I happen to know nothing would make Dan Buckley happier than having him do the work that he wants to do, but... He didn't do it, so...
I'm sorry to hear that.
I am, too. I love him, and you will see me in New York City having a very similar conversation in person. I do adore him, and he means the world to me, and I will try as many times as he wants, if that's what he wants, and if he wants me to fuck off, I'll do that, too.
Are you guys sharing a stage in any panels or anything, or...
Don't think so.
Okay.
But we will have that handshake he does where he pulls you into and takes you off balance.
I was just telling somebody Azzarello said that one time he was walking by, and he's like, Azzarello, come here for a second. Let me tell you what I don't like about 100 Bullets.
That's funny. I will compliment him on his portion of the Dave Stevens book.
Cool.
Yeah, he's a big part of it.
So. That's very cool. Heartless Ninny.
I think his Steranko hardback is out, but I can't find it anywhere.
Yeah, if it is, I'm sure we'll see it at the...
If they have in New York City, I will be purchasing a signed slipcase hardback limited edition, because I love when Steranko writes books about himself in the third person.
I'm sure if it's out, David Spurlock will have copies at the Vanguard booth.
Yes.
Heartless Ninny. Hey, guys, I'm one of the crazy bastards who's listened every minute of every previous episode of the Bendis Tapes, so suffice to say I really love them. And thanks. I'm delighted to finally be part of one. Welcome, Ninny. He really likes Secret Invasion quite a bit. But if he had one complaint, however, it would be that we only really got one big return of a character who was kidnapped, and that's Mockingbird. That was great. I'm glad to see her return. But were there some other Skrull-y reveals that you wanted to do but couldn't? It would have been awesome if Elektra had been a Skrull since the Frank Millen days, for example.
There's a line in the sand, and everyone else will have their different interpretation of where that line is. But there's a line in the sand of where the retcon becomes douchebaggery of the highest order. There's always a little douchebaggery in it.
Sure.
Even retconning your own work or revealing something about your work that someone didn't see before. So some people find that refreshing and exciting. Other people feel they can get annoyed, you know? So to retcon work that went, you know, decades before I was even, like, in comics would be, oh, douchey.
All right.
So, we really, I thought, were right at the right place. I had this idea about having one of the Illuminati, a Skrull, since they got picked up after the Kree-Skrull War, and they were a Skrull the entire time. Like, yeah. I would have loved to have done that.
Yeah.
Like, let's say Black Bolt's been a Skrull literally since the Kree-Skrull War, and whether he knew it or didn't know it. But it just felt, it opened so many, you know, decades of, that's a giant can of worms.
That's 36 worms. Years ago, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a huge can of worms. And then you get excited about that. You're like, all right, is that exciting? And then you're like, no, that's not exciting. That's douchey. And it's a big pain in the ass, and it's the opposite of good writing. And
was 73 Kree-Skrull War? Wasn't it something like 73?
I think it's earlier than that.
You're probably right. It probably was like 70 or 71.
I think it's 69 or 70.
Oh, there you go. Second, I have to admit, I was a bit skeptical about the whole Osborn cabal, but I really liked the interaction between the characters in the Dark Reign one-shot, particularly Emma's moment of doubt. That was great. The Illuminati one-shot you did with Alex way back sparked a terrific miniseries. Any plans of doing something similar with this group? I mean, something with just the six of them rather than appearances in book like Dark Avengers and whatnot.
Yes, but it's down the line. Not this summer, not, you know. Yeah, there's some good juicy stuff. And for fans of the Illuminati special, it is reprinted in the new Avengers oversized hardback that is coming out, I think, next week. I just got my copies today, and they were gorgeous. And Alex's work, big size, is cool beans.
So does that have all the Secret Invasion?
Yeah, it's 26 all the way up to 31. No, it's more than that. It's all the Civil War. It's Civil War all the way through Civil War up to Secret Invasion.
Holy cow.
And it's got the specials in it, too. So a lot of cool stuff.
So all those one-shot issues with...
Yeah, Chaykin all the way through.
Wow.
Yeah, it really was just... I flipped through it, and I was like... Chaykin, Colpiel, the first time I worked with Jimmy Chung, and I one of my favorite Jimmy Chung things, Alex Maleev, Silvestri. It's just a smorgasbord, just awesome shit.
That's great.
Of artwork. It's just really something. So
very cool.
Yeah, I was able to enjoy that.
Jimmy T, thanks for doing this. The podcasts are great. I love and have listened to every single Bendis Tapes and many other Word Balloon podcasts. Thank you, Jimmy T.
Thank you.
From Ohio. Brian, this is my first post, and I just wanted to say these podcasts are what motivated me to join and get my stalking out of you and out in the open. Lucky
awesome.
You. I've been a huge fan of yours since the 25-cent Daredevil issue. This issue, along with your entire Daredevil run, single-handedly got me back into comics after many years away and continue to read almost everything you write. I want to express my great appreciation for all you do, such as this podcast, to reach out to your fans and vice versa. With that being said, I've never attended a comic book convention and could not dream of attending one without meeting you. Do you have any plans to be at any cons coming up next year, as I would love to come out and meet you in person?
My conventions this year are limited to New York Comic Con this 2 weeks from now.
That's right, the first weekend in February.
Emerald City Con.
In April.
And that might be it. I may be returning to Baltimore Con.
Cool.
As my wife is from Baltimore, and we were just invited, and I think I'll be accepting the invitation on behalf of my wife and Dave and Mac, who just gave me big eyes because he was so excited that we were going to Baltimore Con. Because we had a great time at the Aquarium last year.
And what is the name of your favorite pizza place in Cleveland? I'm from Cleveland, and for the life of me, cannot find where you've mentioned it.
Geraces. It's off of Cedar Center. Geraces with a G. You're welcome.
There you go, man. I'm lactose intolerant, you jerk.
Okay.
Question one, was the fakest moment in podcast history when John tried to act like he didn't want his own board on the Bendis board?
Yes.
No, it wasn't. It was not fake. It was not fake. It's not that I didn't want it.
No, what? No, I don't want it. Well,
but now, you know, 2,000 posts later, I guess people are interested, and I'm glad.
Yeah, that's but like nice. 800 of them are you.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Come on, I can start good subjects. What favorite documentary have you seen recently? Tell me. Let me know. Well, people do. Assume the comics world is like the sports world. Sorry, Bendis. And it's possible for the two big companies to trade equal talents. What sort of trade would you most want to see? For example, Marvel couldn't trade Dan Way for Jeff Johns, but a Bendis for Johns trade would be possible. I would trade Christos Gage for Judd Winnick. Gage writes a ton of books at Marvel and would be more capable of writing the massive number of DC books that come out each week, and I really just want Judd Winnick back to write Exiles again. I'm thinking that you'd want to get Bagley back, and if this question were to be asked of Jeff Loeb, he'd probably say he'd trade everyone at Marvel just to get him Tim Sale back.
This guy's invented fantasy football for comic creators.
I like it.
Yes. You are, there's a lot of, a lot of falsities and not truths and stuff involved with your theory. There's no trading of the contract. I don't think legally I could be traded. I think that would null my contract. I don't think DC could afford me.
Nice.
But the truth is that everyone, I think, genuinely more or less, except for Mark Millar, ends up where they belong.
I meant to ask you when Mike Choi was asking how to promote yourself, do you get the chance to put the power ads in Ultimate Spider-Man or the Avenger books and stuff?
Well, that depends on your deal.
Okay.
Everyone has different deals.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, some books are not appropriate to be published or promoted. I would not promote powers on Ultimate Spider-Man.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that, actually. Yeah.
Or Kick-Ass.
Okay.
You know, even though you can say, oh, they're both about teenage superheroes, but then, you know, it's not appropriate.
No, there's zapping cooches in one of those books. Yes, I understand.
Yeah.
Ultimate Samwise Gamgee. Dan DiDio recently said in an interview that Dale Eaglesham will be leaving D.C. Will you have any interest in working with him?
I would. I think I know where he's ending up. So not on my books this year, but down the line, sure.
He's a great artist. He really is. I love his jazz.
Yep.
I read your work. You're working on a project with Matt Fraction. Any hints about when this may happen?
I'm drawing Casanova Volume 3, so I'm very excited about that.
Excellent, man.
Yes. Look for that book to fail.
Nice. Zach Hunter. Okay, Brian, I have a couple questions for you because, well, I'm in
hearing
better
rules. I will tell you, me and Matt are having a very good week. Very good week.
Cool.
Yes.
I look forward to seeing Matt in New York.
Yes. We're going to the shows with our wives. Ooh.
Oh, are you going to the Angelica?
No, we're actually going to see Speed the Plow again.
Oh, very nice.
Because William H. Macy's taking over the role.
Cool. Very nice.
Yes.
Jim McCann was, let's see, here's Zach Hunter's two questions. Jim McCann was the one that did his best to suggest bring back Bobby Morris from the dead. Were you fully supportive of the idea, or are you one of the people in the room who needed convincing?
No, I was in cahoots with him.
Excellent.
Yes, I was. He had a whole agenda of things, some of which did not fit.
Jim wants us to know, by the way, that for the record, he does not have Barbies of Hawkeye and Mockingbird?
No, not official Barbies, but he's made Barbies into Hawkeye and Mockingbird. It's the same thing.
Okay.
He's again also Barbie semantic.
Will we see the Danielle Cage story wrapped up in 2009, or will Luke and Jesse...
And sometimes he has the Barbies on them, you just can't see them.
All right.
What does that mean?
Will we see the Danielle Cage story wrapped up in 2009?
You know what he's doing right now? I happen to know what Jim McCann's doing right now. He's watching the last disc of Gilmore Girls Year 7 and having a nervous breakdown.
I was going to say, really? Is he okay?
I just talked to him on Friday, and I know that's what he's doing this weekend. I'm just hours away from, oh, my God, she ended up with Luke. Anyway.
Will we see the Danielle Cage story wrapped up in 2009, or will Luke and Jessica continue to suffer for the foreseeable future?
They will suffer. No, actually, that story wraps up this week in New Avengers 49 with the baby. And
really?
Yes. And then after Luke and Jessica are forced to watch the Skrulls eat the baby, they'll deal with that emotionally. And the Skrulls make them eat the baby, it's pretty horrible.
Wow.
Yeah.
PJ1336, will you effectively...
Oh, and then the baby gets sucked into Madrox's body, and it's really sad.
Wow.
That's an X-Factor joke from last week.
There you go.
Do you know that Madrox's baby got sucked into Madrox?
No.
Oh, I just spoiled the shit out of that.
That's all right. I hate to admit I don't read X-Factor, and I know it's a great series that Peter David writes, but...
Peter David would be thrilled to hear that on his...
I know. Sorry, Peter. PJ1336, with you effectively revamping or bringing to the spotlight a number of street-level characters in the Marvel Universe, namely Luke Cage, Iron Fist, and the Hood, and to a lesser degree, characters like Cloak or Echo, do you have any aspirations to revamp any specific characters in the future? We get this question
a lot. I'm so offended by, to a lesser degree, Echo.
I saved
Echo from complete disappearance in the Marvel Universe. Echo was nothing before she met me. The joke here is that David Mack, the creator of Echo, is sitting 2 feet away from me.
Yeah.
Ignoring me as he looks through all his MySpace girls.
Well, once again, he's leading a much better life.
He's on a computer leading a much better life than we are right now.
As he's clearly the greatest character ever created and deserves to have his own ongoing, and several years from now, after a number of hidden clues, a full-blown event, what is the possibility of Foggy Nelson finally getting his due recognition as the all-knowing string puller of the Marvel Universe?
That's great.
I could see Foggy having like a Jimmy Olsen kind of book.
Huh?
Foggy, I am a werewolf!
Yeah, Matt Murdock's pal, Foggy Nelson.
Hey, why not? See money. Have you seen the new Spectacular Spider-Man cartoon at all? And if so, what do you think? Personally, I think it's It and Ultimate Spidey are telling Spidey stories as well as they've ever been told.
I have not seen it yet, but I will.
Ed Nemo. I'm a huge fan of everything Bendis writes. That being said, I often wonder about the technical
points.
I often wonder about the technical points of a story. I know that when it comes to S.H.I.E.L.D., the weapons are not world accurate due to the high level of tech, but when it comes to tactics used by characters, I often wonder how the process goes. Do you simply say Hawkeye punches Dr. Doom and then they fight and let the artist go to town in fleshing it out, or do you write out full fight sequences explaining exactly what you want in each panel?
That's a very good question, and you can check out the numerous script books or scripts that are available online and see how this is produced, but I do choreograph a fight pretty with detail. But I do let the artist know that that they are free to, within the confines of that fight scene, do whatever it is that strikes their fancy. In fact, just this week, Chris Bacalo came up with a little beat for the Hood that was so inspired that it actually inspired some goodness out of me as well. So what you don't want to do is say, do whatever I say, and you also don't want to completely leave it up to whoever and hope for the best, which I know some writers do and don't seem to have any problem with it, but I couldn't. What I do is I lay out what I think would be an awesome fight scene, what I would like to see that artist do, what I think they would kick ass with. And most of the time, it's pretty, you know, as we've discussed in the past, most of the time it's pretty close to what I wrote because they see the beats I'm trying to hit, and they want to hit them for me. And whenever it's... But I say, like with Frank Cho, he always found out a couple of elements or something he really wanted to focus on, and he took a couple extra pages to do it. And I was like, yeah, knock yourself out, man.
Do you,
but, you know, with an artist, you really want them to draw as great as they can or paint as great as they can. You know, you want them to force them to do what you want to do. You'll get uninspired work.
Do you look up tactics or martial art techniques to add spice to the story? Or do you
Well, everyone knows that I'm a level alpha weapons expert and a black belt. I was a red belt, but it was taken away from me when it was given to the 1-2 red belt in the David Mamet movie. But
you know, Marshall, is David a big martial art dude?
David Mack is a martial artist. What level of martial artist are you, David Mack? He's in the Church of the Hand, as he's said before.
I know ninjas are going to come and kill me for making fun of your religion.
He just pulled the still-beating heart out of my dog. That's showed it to me, and my dog is still asleep. He didn't even know what happened. So that was really nice. So I forgot that he can do that. No, Dave, what David Mack does, I don't know what the technical word for it, but he wraps his body up in electrical tape and runs around the woods with a sword. I don't know if that technically makes him an artist.
Excellent, man.
But that's what he does. I am, yes, I'm a black belt in whining and passive aggressive guilt.
Okay, very nice.
Yeah.
Is
I do have a yellow belt in name dropping. That's right. You know what? But you know, Alan Moore told me that if I try a little harder, I could probably get it up.
Very nice. Blue belt. Does Mac watch any of the Ultimate Fighting Jiu-Jitsu stuff or any of the mixed martial arts stuff?
You watch mixed martial arts, David Mac? Yeah, only to masturbate.
All right, very good.
Only so he can fuck.
We have like 10 questions left.
Hey, when you interviewed Stan Lee, did he say that too? Did he tell you how Steve Ditko could only get it up watching mixed martial arts?
Steve Ditko would only get it up watching Bruce Lee movies. It's a fact. The Green Hornet made him nuts.
Yeah.
We have 10 questions left. I'm letting you know.
Yes.
Do you want to?
Keep going.
Do you really? All right.
Yeah, fine. See, look at me guilting you right now.
No, there you
That's
go.
That's okay.
All right.
I could be writing for a living, but no. Well, you keep going. Ben.
I don't want to hold back a good idea. All right.
You keep going. That's fine. You do know we peaked with the David Mack masturbating and mixed martial arts stuff. We're not going to get any better than that.
Well, that's what I said, if you want to rap.
Okay, and that's another edition of Word Balloon, brought to you by Poopy
the Reverend.
Pants
brought to you by the Reverend David Mack and the Church of the Hand.
All right, and AshleyMadison.com. That's the joke you won't get, but other people laughed at. AshleyMadison.com is a website for people who want to cheat on their wives.
Nice.
That sponsors the Howard Stern Show ad nauseum.
That's hilarious.
Yeah,
it's a hookup website for people
it's
who want to
cheat. Literally, like if you're unhappy with your marriage, and you will guarantee you'll get laid if you go to this website. And Howard doesn't read the live commercials anymore because he just got married. It's completely inappropriate. So Artie does them. Except sometimes Artie's not there, and Howard's forced to do it. It's hilarious.
There you go. That's what XM Radio
brings. .com brought to you by Ashley Madison and erectile dysfunction medication, and whatever else you're selling.
Thank you. All right. Excellent. And more in part four, kids, so stay tuned.
All right.
So one more episode to go in the Bendis tapes. Brian and I are doing our best to coincide schedules and hope to have that for you very soon. But we appreciate your patience and hope you've enjoyed the information and three parts that you've heard so far. This episode of Word Balloon is brought to you by InStock Trades and InStockTrades.com, where they offer a wide variety. In fact, available now from InStockTrades.com, the trade paperback for Secret Invasion, all 8 chapters of the event written by Brian Michael Bendis with art from Lineal Francis Yu. The regular retail price for the book is $29.98, but at InStockTrades.com, it's just $18.89. And don't forget about InStockTrades' sister site, Discount Comic Book Service at DCBService.com for all your monthly pre-order needs. For more information, make sure you visit their websites, Discount Comic Book Service, DCBService.com, and InStockTrades at InStockTrades.com. Thanks a lot for listening. This is John Sutris reminding you that Word Balloon, of course, is here at WordBalloon.com. You can also find our podcasts at Newsarama.com. Also, we're at MySpace, MySpace.com/WordBalloon. And also follow me on Twitter if you follow John Word Balloon, all one word. And if you have any email questions, you can reach me at john@wordballoon.com. And, of course, we have our forum at jinxworld.com and wordballoon.com where you can ask me a lot of questions on a bunch of topics. And just like the podcast, we stray from comics and talk about everything. So thanks for listening. Until next time, Word Balloon is a copyright feature of Shaky Productions. Copyright 2009.